This is the Best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's the best of today's Sports Channel 8, the radio show.
We're going to give you some things to talk about at lunch right now. First off, game two. The World Series was last night.
I guess
if I'm sitting in the Hayes Permar chair, my Tampa Rays.
Yeah, they evened it up.
6-4 last night. Series
and
now.
That's a Bull City victory.
Well, you know what's funny? Michael Shelton plays that little sounder, and it basically was the baby Bulls doing the work. So yeah. Brandon Lowe, I don't know why I found this, why I put this note in there, but anytime I see guy born in the mid-90s, I'm like, good God. Brandon Lowe. Born in 1994. That just makes me feel really, really, really old.
Yeah, but he's not even like...
He's not even young for like baseball world
exactly,
right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But Brandon Lowe from Newport News, Virginia, Tidewater, I think someone put a post at some point of... all the runs that have been scored tonight were produced by the Tidewater in Virginia. Former ACC legend at Maryland. He did play at Maryland while they were still in the ACC. Mm-hmm. And because he did well last night, we will claim him.
Yes,
right? If he stinks,
we'll claim him.
He's Big Ten legend.
Right.
At that point.
Yeah, yes. Is he a legend or a leader?
Right.
I guess it depends, right?
I see Big Ten reference.
Yep.
But he was 2-for-5 last night. But the two that he had were the two home runs, which... help propel the Rays to victory.
As it turns out, home runs are very good in baseball.
Why don't they do those more often?
They should try to do them every time they go to the plate.
Like the Rockets in basketball.
Shoot threes.
Shoot 1,000 threes. And they're like, if we make 30% of them, we're going to win a lot.
I think I've brought this up on the show before a while ago, but I'm like kind of surprised. Again, anyone with like an ounce of football knowledge could come at me and say, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
But I feel like a team that had... someone who had Randy Moss on their team should have done this.
Right.
Throw 30 deep balls a game to him. If he catches 5 of them, you probably win the game.
Right, they're all touchdowns.
You know what I mean? Like, someone should have taken Moneyball to that degree with football. But, no, I do think it's been funny. They've been referencing this stat a lot in the postseason where it's like the team that out-homers the opponent is like, you know, 29-2 or 28-2. But... no, duh.
Right.
Like, more runs are scored on home runs these days,
right.
And it's inherently the best outcome. And also, if you want to peel it back even further, like, the better team probably has the better hitters on it that are more likely to also hit a home run.
Sure.
So it's cool that this is happening, but it's also... they keep mentioning that stat, and I don't find it to be as spectacular as it actually is. And also, they're not comparing it to anything. Like, is that the normal rate of win percentage for teams that out home run someone else like in the regular season, or is it because we're just looking at it for the postseason? Regardless, it's cool to see that the Rays even this up. Like, I feel this has the chance to actually now go 6 or 7 games.
Did
like, if the Dodgers win this last night,
right?
Like, you know, you and I are in here talking about, is there going to be a sweep,
right,
or whatever?
Did you watch last night?
I watched a little bit last
night.
Are you in?
Like, I have not. Kind of goes back to the basketball equation. I know your basketball viewing is way different than mine, but as casual sports fan, there is something about it. Just feels weird. It doesn't
like the World Series.
It doesn't feel like a real championship. Like, I know it's the World Series, but I just haven't been able to get 100% invested. Kind of like NBA wasn't able to get 100% invested. NHL, the same exact thing.
Yeah, I actually struggle with that with the NHL. Now, if the Canes had made it further,
sure,
I think I could have like just dialed into my homerism and just pulled for the Canes. I actually kind of, Hayes and I talked about this a little bit the other day. The World Series at least has the benefit of it's happening at its like norm. It's happening close to its normally scheduled time in the sports calendar, so that helps. But to your point, yeah, they played a 60 game season,
right?
Which is over 100 games less.
Yeah.
I mean, it is insane that they play a 162 game schedule. Like, you say that number out loud, and it's preposterous that the season is that long. But yeah, like I am. I also think because I was so entrenched with basketball, and I was so adamant that there was no like asterisk to be put next to the championship this season, that I want to validate all of these titles.
Sure.
I'll validate the French Open, U.S. Open, even though, I don't know, the U.S. Open in tennis was maybe like a little...
It was a little fraudulent,
actually. But, like, if anything, if you want to put an asterisk next to these titles this year, it should be because you won... the challenge was maybe even more steep this year.
Fair.
Because it was amidst a pandemic and your season got interrupted or whatever. And, like, ultimately, the teams with the two best records made the World Series championship here. And if LA does go on to win, I've been saying this for a couple weeks now here, they're the best team in baseball this year. And they have sort of been the best team in baseball over the course of 3 years.
Yep.
So if you want to like draw the sample out a little bit further, like it's easy for us to chop these things up, itemize them year to year to year. There's one team every year. But really the run that this team is having is pretty incredible.
Right.
So,
and it's getting validated if they were to go on and win.
Exactly.
I can get behind that. Yeah. How many more home runs does Brandon Lau have to hit before we can call him Mr. October?
I think he's got to hit.
Right, that's all you hear about. If you start hitting home runs in the World Series, Reggie Jackson, Mr. October comes up.
We're going to take this on a day-to-day basis, right? So the next game is so between
We need to
now,
start a meter. We need to start like one of those meters, like, are you Mr. October?
It's going to be, and we're going to keep it really simple with Lau as far as his Mr. October status. So the next game is Friday.
Yeah.
He has to hit a home run.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't need to hit two. If he hits two, that's great.
Right.
Then maybe he gets a little more deeply entrenched in Mr. October status. But if he wants to streamline this and maintain it, he's got to hit at least one home run in every game or else he's going to fall off the meter. Although he can get back on it if he hits a home run in game four.
Also, shout out to another Bull, former Bull last night. Blake Snell got the win. I think he was had thrown a no-hitter through the first four innings, kind of got roughed up in that fifth inning.
Nice.
I think we have some audio from Blake Snell, right, Shelton?
Yeah, here's Blake Snell reacting to his performance last night.
Yeah, I mean, I just had a good game plan for these guys, and I was able to watch them game one, so it gave me a lot more input on what I wanted to do today. But, yeah, I just wanted to attack them, make them start swinging, and I felt like I had a good game plan. So, obviously not going to share too much because I'm probably going to have to face him again. But, yeah, I would just say I had a solid game plan and it worked, but we got to get better.
What? Okay, what could he have shared that would have been too much?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, you're still baseball. You're throwing it hard and... What did he not want to give away in that?
He struck them out 9 times in 4 2/3 innings. It's like the secret formula is like you're good at baseball,
right, dude.
And like that team's trying to hit home runs, which makes them slightly more susceptible to like striking out too. Yeah, I'm not sure if there's like a secret sauce. I suppose there could be, but again, I think it being like an awesome Cy Young caliber pitcher with a great strikeout rate also probably helps just like in general against a great team.
Second thing you could talk about at lunch, college football weekend starts tonight, and it starts tonight in the state of North Carolina. Appalachian.
Oh, really?
Hosts Arkansas State tonight.
Okay.
On ESPN.
It's interesting. So, like, is that in Boone? Or is
that, in Boone.
And so we're only on, this is only like year five, or I think in 2015 was the first year they ever did a Thursday night game.
Yeah, yeah.
In Boone, I want to say, and I think I was up there for that game with Hayes, actually.
Did they host Miami?
Was that the year they hosted
Miami randomly?
That was the following year.
Okay.
And this Thursday night game, I think, was Georgia State.
Okay.
I believe it was Georgia State. But yeah, Miami played there either in 2016 or 2017.
Right.
So it was either a year or two after that. But I didn't know App was playing tonight.
App's
That's exciting.
Playing tonight in a good little, and I think we're starting to get into the slate that tomorrow night there will be some Big Ten. There's actually a Friday night Big Ten tomorrow night.
Oh God, yeah, I started to see those previews.
But we're getting
here and
further.
There.
We've already had Louisville and Georgia Tech played on a Friday. A couple weeks from now, NC State will play Miami on a Friday
That's
night.
Right.
So we're starting to get into not only good college football on the weekends, but we're some decent Thursday and Friday night games. But the big game, obviously, here in the Triangle. NC State and North Carolina this weekend. And, BG, I've taught myself into state winning.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That didn't take long.
Yeah. Well, no, it took 3 or 4 days. Usually on Monday.
I'm like,
we're winning.
Okay. So do you...
What?
So what moved you over to the pack? How many points of an underdog are they this weekend?
It's down to 15. I think I've moved the line because I tweeted about this yesterday. So here's my here's my thing with this game is Bailey Hockman is NC State's backup quarterback. First off, he's not the worst backup quarterback in the history of college football.
Correct. He's like semi-capable.
State fans, a lot of State fans have seen him play a lot that, oh my, every time he throws, you cringe. And I get it. Like, he hasn't done anything to trust that he is the best, that he's capable, and you just can't trust him.
Yeah.
He has a skill set, and he has talent that...
He played well against Wake to open the season, right?
But, right, he did. Mm-hmm. But here's...
He was, like, capable against a decent ACC team of playing pretty well, would you say?
Right, yeah, absolutely. But here's my thing. You play pickup basketball.
Yeah.
Right? Okay? Yes. Here's where I'm going to go with this.
Are not you, very well these days, but yes.
But are you a good shooter? Would you? All right?
Yeah.
You probably play with guys who are capable at doing other things and maybe not as good of a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe one out of every 10 times, the guy that doesn't really shoot well has the game where he goes 8 for 8.
Yeah.
You watch him play that game and you would sit in there and think, wow, he played really great, but what he did wasn't out of this world. It was just, this was the night he got hot.
Right. And not like irrationally hot.
Right.
Like, you know he's capable of 10% of the time. He's capable of being
of
efficient.
Having that game where he scores 25 points.
Yeah.
I see that with a little bit of Bailey Hockman.
Oh, okay.
Because, yes, you can't trust him. He does not have a body of work that you can trust him in the sense of he's going to make the right throw all the time and he's going to know how to throw it away. But he does have a skill set with running the ball. You know, he can run the ball a little RPO. Is this the week that he does the... 12 carries, 110 yards, and then throws for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. And if he does that, we will all be surprised on Monday, but I don't think we would sit here and think, oh, this guy just what's out of his brain.
Shocked the world. Yeah, right. He had some out-of-body experience to play that level of football.
Now, this talking myself into them winning is like a 10 or 15% type thing, right?
Yeah, right.
And it also goes with, I don't necessarily trust UNC's defense. I still trust State's running backs and offensive line. And
yeah, their skill position players are pretty good, right? That helps.
So the biggest key to me is he's got to play great and play efficient. But also NC State defensively, they're getting better. They give up a lot of yards, but they can't get down like 21-0.
Oh, yeah, they do that.
It can't be a haymaker.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, if they do that, yeah, it's a wrap. But to your point, State's skill guys are good. So it's not even like Hockman has to even have like that crazy of a game. I don't know. It gets cliched really quickly, but not turning the ball over is big. I would imagine this is the simple stuff that Bill Connelly writes about for ESPN. It's like winning the turnover margin, winning the third down conversion battle. Like UNC's offense looks great. They were amazing in the second half against FSU. I mean, not amazing, but like I think they looked sort of how you would expect them to look this season. But UNC's dinged up a little bit, or they're missing some guys in the secondary.
I think there's a path for NC State to win this game that isn't just a you need North Carolina to throw 7 interceptions.
Yeah, right. If you were banking on that, you have no chance.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Because NC State can do enough good things with Bam Knight and Ricky Person, and then obviously the wild card is this the week that Bailey Hockman, like I said, goes 8 for 8 from the field?
Yeah. And it's also like they could sneak the Air Thomas back there and have him hit on one big play down the field.
I think they run
right?
that play like every game.
Yeah.
And like it's worked like 1 out of 5 times or something
but
like that.
But this could be that 1 out of 5 chance on Saturday against in Chapel Hill.
So we got that game coming on this weekend. Maybe tomorrow I'll be back in here. Permar will be in here. Maybe we'll have talked myself out of NC State winning at that
point. You reserve the right.
Yeah.
Up until 11:59 a.m. Saturday, you reserve the right to flip-flop as many times as you want to.
I don't think what I just said was red-tinted glasses.
You couch it in saying it's unlikely to happen.
Right.
Which is like a good...
I'm giving myself an out.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm hedging my bets.
You hedged it, which is the most important thing you could be doing.
We'll ask Chip Patterson, is there a...
Also, UNC is great, but they're also not Clemson.
Right,
Like they're really good, but they're not Clemson. So there is always a chance.
There's a few other games going on this weekend, and this is something I've always wanted to do and start doing. I live out in Wendell.
Okay.
Okay. Have some friends I actually do have friends. People stay awake. I do stay awake enough to actually hang out at night.
You're a sociable guy.
They will, but this guy probably would joke on me that, like, dude, you go to bed at like 8:30. Like, you hang out, but like, we know you're gone at 9.
Yeah.
But I wanted him on just real quick because I was looking at the slate this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There's three ranked versus ranked matchups. None of them have the mighty Southeastern Conference in them. None of them have the mighty Southeastern Conference, and this guy is Dave the SEC. I'm going to call him Dave the SEC apologist. Look at this. Auburn's playing. They're not ranked. Yeah. South Carolina at LSU, you can get in the game for $20. Not a ranked game.
Yeah, I'm looking at that same number right in front of me
now. I think the SEC, they're just not as good as the ACC. I mean, the ACC has a ranked matchup this week.
Poor Tennessee is about to get run over, too.
So, right.
Poor Tennessee.
So, I think he's on the line. Dave, the SEC apologist, are you there?
I'm here, Josh. And it only took, right, 2020 and a global pandemic for this to finally come to fruition, right?
Yeah. Well, no, explain your conference. Dave, I believe, has an allegiance with the Florida Gators, with which – we've already seen them lose. I mean, they're just picking each other off. But what's going on with the SEC this year, Dave? Show us something, because all I see is a conference. This may as well be the MAC.
That's a little harsh. Like I said, it's a global pandemic, Josh. The SEC, I'm not going to say they're down. I'm interested to see what the Big Ten can do. But the SEC, I mean, defense is just bad this year in the SEC. So that can explain it a little bit. But I'd like to talk a little bit about your monumental ranked ACC matchup this weekend.
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, you've got a inflated UNC team coming off a loss to a terrible FSU program versus a state team without their starting quarterback. I mean, everybody's going to be interested in that, right?
Yes. And I love how the Gators fan threw in the terrible FSU moniker after they just beat the number 5 team in the country at home.
That was a weird game.
I appreciate that.
That was a weird game. FSU is bad.
But Dave, I mean, this is what we live for: high noon ranked versus ranked matchups. This is something that the SEC wish they could have. Auburn and Ole Miss. That is a nothing game. That's like a fourth screen.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Wolfpack.
Yeah. Watch out for that matchup, Josh, because the Gus Bus is on the hot seat.
Ooh, Gus Malzahn on the hot seat. Give us an update on the Gators. When are they going to play again? Thanksgiving?
Hold on. I have a quick question about Malzahn here. Is Malzahn, more than any other coach, is he perpetually either on the hot seat or negotiating a raise? Is there any coach in the country that vacillates more between, like, we just signed up to give this guy $10 million more, or like, hey, if he loses to Team X this season, we're going to fire him? I swear he owns that more than any other college football coach in the country.
It's the dysfunction of coaching at Auburn, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're in the same state as Alabama, the same conference. It's just a dysfunctional place.
Yeah.
When the Gators get back on the field, which I think is next week, if they lose that game, is it time to bring Urban home?
I mean, I love Dan Mullen, but I would not be opposed to bringing Urban home.
Yeah,
I love it.
What about Ron Zook? Is he still? Can we get Ron Zook out of retirement to come back to Gainesville?
I'm not sure if I'd rather have Ron Zook or Will Muschamp.
Oof, I forgot about Will Muschamp.
Just have Tebow coach.
Tebow. There you go.
Appreciate it, Dave, the SEC apologist. Hey, real quick, rate me as a neighbor. Am I a good neighbor, bad neighbor?
Is Goodson on the hot seat as a neighbor?
Am I on the hot seat as a neighbor?
You're not, but when my kids are asking why you're going to bed so early, that's a problem.
Yeah, there you go. We'll address that, Dave.
Shout out to Emily and Claire. Thank you, Dave, the SEC apologist, for calling in. Appreciate it, bud.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
Mm-hmm.
But my friends call me Chip.
How am I supposed to Chip with that going on, Doug?
Chip had the music blasting. We're not gonna take it.
Chip, what's up, buddy?
How we doing? I was thinking about BG, when you were driving in November, is that when we just went lights off for like the last 30 minutes?
Yes.
And just like set the scene with some Smodiody Dopalicious and did intimate radio?
Yeah, that was the highlight of that show. Yeah, it was the day after the Pitt UNC game. It was the day after the back
Miles Garrett Miles taking Garrett, the helmet to Mason Rudolph.
Yes, exactly. So it was that show. So we the three topics we hit were Miles Garrett, Pitt, UNC, and then, yeah, we just sort of vibed out to Outkast the last segment of the show, which was cool.
Well, you said it wasn't good. That sounds great.
I felt like it wasn't good. I mean, it was one of those.
You're your hardest critic.
I am, actually.
You are, without a doubt. Yeah. No, I had very fond memories, and when I heard you have that analysis, I was like, oh, no. I need to at least provide a foil to that commentary, because I thought it was a fantastic show.
I definitely had fun, but it is a little more nerve-wracking. I was lucky, these were in the before times, that I was able to have Chip, Moose and Swain in studio with me, so that was a big help that day too.
Chip, on the previous side, I basically said NC State was going to win against UNC. I don't know if you heard it, and I don't think my theory and scenario was unfounded. Did you hear any of the bits and pieces of what we talked about?
Man, we've been on this. We know that there's a path.
Yep.
There are only two paths. It is NC State winning outright or North Carolina winning by 20.
Mm-hmm. Like, yep.
It is a total course correction for North Carolina, where they come out, they had their bad half. They got stunned. They got shook a little bit, and they weren't playing well enough to be able to come back in a 21-0 second half run against Florida State. And so, you know, maybe you come into this game, Mac Brown, very intimately aware of what this rivalry means to the fans on both sides. And, you know, he brings a little bit more focus than a Larry Fedora might have to this rivalry. And so, yeah, like, there's definitely a North Carolina win by 20, but there's also the North Carolina turns into a pumpkin and starts to regress from, you know, what we saw at the beginning of the season. And the same team that was only up by single digits against a Syracuse team that is at the bottom of the ACC going into the fourth quarter, maybe, you know, starts to give NC State a little bit of life. It's going to come down to whether or not North Carolina's defense, it is the buzzword. It is run fit. It is eye discipline. It is gap integrity. If North Carolina can stop the run, then it's going to become very, very difficult for NC State to win the game. But I also can see in my, you know, Podstradamus chamber, I can see an outcome where NC State gets that run game going. This thing gets a little bit loose. It's a little bit high scoring, and NC State has a chance to win outright.
I mean, Jordan, if we're talking about the specific quarterback situation, Jordan Travis wasn't great last week. Like, if you go look at his numbers, especially passing,
they were pretty bad. But he ran around and made like six plays.
When I was watching that, and at this point we had already known that Devin Leary was not going to be playing, so I'm watching that game and I'm like, if Bailey Hockman does anything well and we trust, it's, yeah, he's pretty fast and he's pretty mobile and he can move, and maybe Jordan Travis gave Florida State them the path to do that. I mean, are you leaning on that at any point, or are you just it's going to be Bam and Ricky Person and they're going to run for 350 yards and that's the only way to get it done?
No, definitely not. Like, I'm not leaning on the latter, but I also don't think that you can copy and paste Jordan Travis as Bailey Hockman. I mean, we saw in the Wake Forest game, Bailey Hockman's clearly a piece of the run game himself, but it'll be the linebackers and it'll be the safeties. Those players for North Carolina's defense are going to be whether or not North Carolina is successful.
And Chip, as a media member, but with friends on both sides of the aisle here, of Pac fans, UNC fans, which set of like buddies have hit you up more this week to sort of rationalize why they think they're going to win, a la Goodson here a second ago?
Well, I mean, Niece and I had a good long phone chat, Henry Niece, at the beginning of the week, just to set the stage, and really a lot of it was spent mourning the lack of the atmosphere, because whether this game is in Raleigh or Chapel Hill, it is a family event. I mean, there are a lot of friends, friend groups, families, extended families, where you've got a lot of hashtag house divided across the board. And, you know, that's when you do invite your family or your friend or your neighbors who might even have gone to the other school. If you've got an extra ticket, you'll throw it to them. And you agree, like, if you're an NC State fan, it's like, all right, I'll just wear black. Like, you know, if you're a Carolina fan, I'll just wear white. You know, you do a little bit of negotiating, maybe probably depending on where the seats are and how hostile the section is. But to not have that tailgating scene, to not have that, you know, to use the great radio term, to not have that hyper local atmosphere is going to be a little bit of a bummer. And it's not Thanksgiving weekend, which is also always added to the friends and family atmosphere here. But I still think that with the way that last year's game went, what was it, like 10-6 at halftime?
It was Tar Heels. It poured rain. I remember being at the game. It poured rain in the first half and it was really cold, and it stopped raining at halftime, and I was like, okay, the game's over. State was leading at half. They were playing pretty well, but UNC could not do anything throwing the ball, and then it stopped raining, and then it was a wrap from there. But, you're right.
Problem after that. Yeah, this...
And I was just going to, NC State is going to want to recapture what they had in terms of competitiveness, and North Carolina wants to get right. I think that even if we're missing the atmosphere in and around the stadium, the players in those locker rooms know what this means.
Yeah, this game is great for producing the, you know, wearing your team's colors into the opposing team's stadium. Like, in 2010, I was a student at State. I got a ticket to the game in Chapel Hill that year. The last time Russell played in the rivalry.
That was a good year to go.
It was, but I, like, was wearing a red polo shirt in Keenan, and was trying to, like, compress myself as much as possible. But after T.J. Graham took the punt or the kickback for a touchdown, I was walking around like I was Chuck Amato the rest of the day, just, like, chest puffed out, just ready to go.
Real quick, the Big Ten's back this week. Chip, we know Ohio State. Is there anything else we need to know about the Big Ten, or is it going to be Ohio State and then at some point Wisconsin will be ranked really high and then they'll get crushed against Wisconsin, or... Oh, Penn State, this is their year, and then they lose to somebody bad. Or
Penn State doesn't really lose always to somebody bad. They just can't beat Ohio State. They just haven't closed that gap yet. I mean, they are a legitimate top 10 team. They've got awesome players all over the field. I think they're a little bit limited at quarterback, and I think that their wide receiver position leaves a lot to be desired, but that is me really just picking nits for a team that in the college football playoff era is, I think I ran this over the offseason. I think Penn State is the seventh most successful program in the country in the college football playoff era. They just haven't made the college football playoff. It's like, and it's because they can't beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
And then I think that the big storyline, and this sets up well for this weekend, because Michigan at Minnesota is one of the big games, and Minnesota came so close to getting to the Big Ten title game. They beat Penn State. They were double-digit wins. It was one of the most successful Minnesota football seasons since the pre-World War II era. Minnesota is one of those Big Ten teams that claims 6 national championships, but they're all like 1905, 1906. Yeah,
right. And, no one threw a forward pass in this game, but we are claiming the championship from it.
Yeah. So I think Minnesota's good. A guy named Rashad Bateman, who opted out for the NFL draft, opted back in. Their quarterback, Tanner Morgan's really, really good. If Minnesota playing at home with Michigan in town wins that game, all of a sudden we look at like Minnesota, not Wisconsin, as the team du jour in the Big Ten West. But the Ohio State conversation is measuring Ohio State against Clemson because of that epic game. I mean, Justin Fields had them in scoring position, and then Nolan Turner comes up with the interception in the end zone. Yeah. If that is a touchdown and not an interception, Ohio State goes to play LSU, and Ohio State fans think that they would have put up a better fight than Clemson. And so that Alabama versus Clemson conversation that we've been having for a couple weeks, now we got to introduce Ohio State to the mix.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be double-digit favorites against everybody but Penn State. And so that's why we're sort of measuring them on a national scale week by week.
It's going to hurt me to make this comparison, but based off what Chip just said, is Penn State the Chris Paul of college football in this era? Like, wildly successful, the numbers darling, but just hasn't actually been to the big dance yet. I mean, it pains me to make that comparison, but based off what Chip is saying, I feel like it's valid.
What?
Very much so. And, like, within the industry, so they got, All right, so they just got a new offensive coordinator, a guy named Kirk Sciarrocca, and he was actually at Minnesota. One of the things to watch to see if they can be as productive offensively. Everybody loves Kirk Sciarrocca. He's considered the RPO, the run-pass option guru, and he does a great job of putting defenses in difficult positions. And Penn State's got a great tight end named Pat Freiermuth, who's probably going to be a first-round NFL draft pick next year. And so that is the equivalent of like whatever the other like free agent that you just brought in for Chris Paul, right? Like whatever you did in the offseason that was like, okay, and now we've got the pieces around Chris Paul to make this happen. That's Kirk Sciarrocca, the new Penn State offensive coordinator.
And to the Heister Automotive Group hotline, we go to Abby LaBar. She is at Abby LaBar _ on Twitter. She's a reporter for Fox Sports covering ACC games, where she was the host and reporter for the Canes during the restart, and she's also a sideline reporter for ACC. She was actually in Syracuse last week covering the Syracuse Orange. And the first question I have to go to is, Abby, talk to us about the blue jumpsuit.
Okay, I didn't know the blue jumpsuit was actually going to get, like, full body on camera, which is kind of fun. My feet looked really small in it because the pant legs were so big. But you guys know I only ever get to wear red.
Right.
So because Canes, NC State, all that. And so, you know, I felt like, hey, ACC, blue, we're going to roll with it. And we weren't, there were no blue teams on the field. So we broke out the blue.
Right.
What do you think?
No, I'm okay with it. It kind of, is it, do we call it a jumpsuit just because we don't want to call it a, we don't want to call it a onesie?
No, it's jumpsuit is the correct terminology.
Okay.
A onesie.
I have a little girl, so I live in onesie land.
under like the age of 2 years old, it's a onesie. But
right.
She's
2.5. So I guess whenever she turns 3, everything she's gonna be wearing at that point will be a jumpsuit.
Yeah.
So
Abby,
this week you're actually on the sideline for Wake and Virginia Tech, 3:30 on Fox Sports South. Like me and BG were just talking about this in the break that Wake Forest, I think, is a 10-point underdog at home. Virginia Tech's playing well, but we've really liked what we've seen from the Deacs, and I actually think this game's going to be one of the more exciting games of the weekend. What you think about that one?
I've always been I like Dave Clawson, and obviously we saw what they were able to do last year, and I feel like that has happened a lot where they have these really good starts to the season, and then, you know, the end of the season, they kind of just, you know, diminish off into the clouds in the distance. It's kind of the opposite this year where they've had a little bit of a slow start. And then, you know, we saw some good things from them last week. I mean, I don't know. Virginia Tech is just such a dominant team right now. It's still crazy to think how many players they were missing in their first few games and then were still able to come out and execute. So I want to say that Wake Forest is finding their groove and they're getting into a rhythm, and it's definitely going to be a ground game from both sides. So we're going to see some hard-nosed, old-school football going on. And I expect there to be a lot of yards on the ground from both teams. So it'll just kind of be – I think it'll come down to turnovers in the defense, right? Who's able to stop the run on whichever side and who's going to win the turnover battle.
No, it should be a good game. And that leads us in – I think we have production for this now. Every week Abby comes on and she gives us – 3 bits of advice, and we call it Abby's advice.
And now it's time for Abby's advice.
All right, Abby, let's give us some advice. We need some. We're again BG and I are filling in for like in the big chair for Hayes. We're backups. Like we were
some big shoes to fill.
Well, we were blind in the first half. We were just kind of out there doing stuff. We don't even know what we did. We just hit halftime. So we need a pep talk. We need some advice.
Don't worry. I got called for targeting last game, so I was out in the first half. I'm here for the second half. So we're going to start with – I'm going to go with the Wahoos, Virginia. We're going to give our advice to them. I think everyone on that squad should take a field trip to Bronco Mendenhall's library, sit down, read a few books on consistency. Guys, I know, you know, the injuries and everything are not faring well for Virginia, but – there were some slow starts, right? And then they couldn't finish the game either last weekend. So 60 minutes of football, boys. You know how to do it. Let's read some books together, have a little powwow. You got to step up without your starting quarterback against Miami this week. So through 4 games, 1 win. I don't think that's what Virginia football is about. So number two, I'm going to go with the obvious here. Simple piece of advice, very simple. Clemson, can you just take it easy on the Orange yeah. this week? I mean, like, Syracuse is near and dear to my heart right now. Guys, they have less than 60 scholarship players available. I mean, that is so – those poor Syracuse, poor Dino Babers.
Yeah.
And I talked to somebody on the sideline last week at Syracuse about it, and I was like, you know, NC State kind of dealt with this last year with all the injuries, and the coaches – no good coach is ever going to sit there and make an excuse and use injuries as the reason, you know, things aren't going well for their team. And so I think Dino Babers is – dealing with that right now. So Clemson, it can't be another 70 point get, just don't do it. We know you're good. Save it for another time. My last piece of advice is going to be specifically for Josh Goodson. Goodson, when you go to the game this weekend, you need to be on your best behavior. That's all I have for you.
So Goodson, you're going to the game?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to go to the game.
Oh yeah. Oh, gotcha. I didn't tell you. Oh, surprise.
You got tickets?
I got your tickets.
Whoa. Ooh, look, right. that is coming through right there. I will be on my best behavior. Yeah.
Clutch.
Yeah.
Chris said he wants to be on the show.
Oh, we can do that. I mean, he can host a show.
Yeah.
What's he doing right now? Like, me and BG, we got segments.
Should we call him in?
We got segments to fill the rest of the show. Like, we could use them. I was actually gonna ask you about that. Kind of in a weird. I was gonna try to do the thing like, Abby, remember what we've been talking about? You got them tickets.
Yeah, no.
But I was gonna ask, how's vibes in the house? Like the pack, top 25. I know you're Chris, your boyfriend. Yeah. Member of the offensive staff, they got to be feeling good. I know, little tough with Devin going down, but they have some faith in some of the guy of the rest of the team.
Yeah, it's good vibes, and I can usually tell. We haven't talked about it a lot this week because when we both have games, it's crazy. We don't really actually get to have conversations until our Thursday night date nights. But he's been in a good mood, so I'm assuming that things are going well this week. So it's exciting times for both of us.
You probably didn't listen earlier, but and speak to this as much as you are comfortable with speaking to. But me and BG were saying that, yes, NC State not having Devin Leary, for everyone can see on the TV and watching the games that him not playing there is not good for NC State. They were in some good rhythm with him being the starting quarterback, but going to Bailey Hockman is not like going to the worst quarterback in the history of college football. Bailey can do some things. He can run the ball, and I likened it to a guy that you've played golf before. You've probably seen your boyfriend play golf. Maybe he shoots 75 every round, right? Okay, maybe that's his average. But
he would say like 72, but we'll say
72. Okay, no, so let's say he shoots 72 every time, all right? He's got a 64 in him. It won't happen often, but he's got enough skills and enough talent to, like, maybe this is the day that he makes every single putt, right? And maybe this
That's a great analogy. I love the comparison.
Maybe this is the week that – and you have to be good to give yourself the opportunities to make every putt, and that's how I kind of see Bailey Hockman. Like, he's got enough skills and enough talent that if it all aligns on the right day and he makes the right decisions and, all the things come to pass – He can go out there and win you a game, and maybe it's this weekend.
Well, we saw what he did in the first game, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that with anything should give NC State fans confidence. I know it stinks, like you said, like Devin was in a rhythm, and you know things were going up, but at the same time, you're not pulling somebody from the bench that hasn't, you know, seen live game time at all. So he, you know, obviously he had a good camp. Bailey did, and you know, had the starting position and was able to execute in that first game. And I think you're totally spot on there with the golf comparison. It is really just going to be, what are those first like 5 to 10 plays going to be like for Bailey? How does he execute on those? And I think that's going to be, you know, a test to, okay, where's the confidence at after, you know, the first quarter for the offense? And you know, if it's in a good spot, then I think, you know, they have just as good of a chance of winning this game with Bailey as they would with Devin.
All right, every week, it's funny, you could probably see, if you're looking at the Google Doc that we share, Abby, you might could see this. I don't know if you're looking at it, but Hayes Permar's not here today, but he's able to chime in on the Google Doc, and he's chiming in.
Wait, I'm going to pull it up.
Well, I think it's every week we look at your Twitter or your Instagram. It's probably a big privacy issue, whatever, but we do it, and then we ask you, explain yourself, and this week's explain yourself, Hayes is bringing up, it's odd that you have time for a couple's photo shoot, but you don't have time for date nights. Explain yourself.
Okay. Actually, I'm giving the credit to Chris for this. This is like what our weeks are like. So yeah. Thursday nights are our Thursday night date nights. And that was the day after our anniversary. I guess it was last week or 2 weeks ago. And so on Thursday morning, it's always like, what are we going to do tonight? Where are we going to go? Because we never plan anything farther than 24 hours in advance. Chris, this was all Chris's idea. How sweet. He just like was like, oh, I'm going to do something special for you on our anniversary. He called up Chanel, who is so talented, that works for NC State football, does all of their, you know, graphics and photography. And she like basically was like, yeah, I have like 30 minutes, you know, tonight. And so he set the whole thing up and she took photos of us before we went to our dinner. God. So yeah, we made it work. It was only like a 30-minute thing. Chris. And the photos turned out great. Props to Chris for that.
I don't know if I'm starting to like Chris more than you, Abby, like, to be honest. Like he's helping with a
wasn't that nice? He's helping with a
ticket situation, and like these are the ideas I need for like gifts. Like my wife and I, we're celebrating year 7 next week of being married, and God, we're old with a kid, and we don't really know what to do for gifts anymore. It just feels like an obligation than something we want to do. That is a great idea. Scheduling the photo shoot. God, that is where's date night tonight?
We haven't decided yet. I told you it's always last minute. Right. So he'll probably text me in an hour and be like, let's do this.
All right. Before we let you run, we need your ACC lock of the week. And everybody listening, she literally has not lost. She's like 7-0.
So this puts more pressure on me because, you know, I haven't like I've steered away from picking NC State.
Yeah.
I don't love a lot of these. I don't love a lot of these matchups this week. So I was trying to decide between two, and it was going to be, it was either going to be Virginia, Miami, but since it's rivalry week and I like the Wolfpack, what, you know, they have to offer, we're going to go NC State.
All right.
I know it's a big leap there, but, I trust it. Let's go NC State.
That is Abby Labar's lock of the week. She's taking NC State, and I believe the best number I can find is +15.5. So we'll go +15.5.
That's why I'm saying that's a big NC State's going to close the gap there for sure.
Sure.
Or with the upset. I'm for either.
As always, thank you, Abby. Have a good call for Virginia Tech and Wake Forest this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Most people on the show know I'm kind of the curmudgeonly old man in some respect. Wake up stupid early.
Yeah.
I need to eat my lunch by 10. I need to have my dinner at 5. I need to be in bed by 8.
Yeah.
Don't get in my way in the middle of those things.
Yeah.
Hey, old guys.
Yeah, that's me. Well, some good news happened in the family last night. My brother got engaged.
Okay. Oh, congrats.
So I immediately made it about me.
Yeah.
Right? Naturally.
It's the human in you.
Right. Yeah. No, but I started thinking, got engaged. He's younger than me. We're 7 years apart. So we have always been in a weird time of life, never in the same time of life. And actually now in the last couple of years, we've probably gotten in the better, you know, the more closer time of life because
you had a certain level of maturity.
School, maturity, all those things. You're settling down. You found, you know, whatever. Yeah. But I was thinking, I was like, wait, what do I have to do in this scenario? Like, what is my responsibility? Is it, do I have to be named something before I need to worry about the responsibility?
Yeah.
Am I in charge of a bachelor party? Because let me tell you, like, I could plan something, but I don't know what fun is anymore.
Yeah,
and if it was me planning it, it's like, yo, let's just go to like play golf and like we'll go eat dinner at 6 o'clock and we'll be home.
I mean that would be fine. Well, maybe not, that's quite the timeline, but you can check out earlier, I think, if you want to.
Okay.
Now what I will say is, yeah, you're probably, whether you're the best man or not, you're likely going to be in the one of the groomsmen.
Sure.
I think that's a pretty safe bet.
If I'm not, we have that'll be a great radio topic of why I'm not.
Yeah, we have bigger problems if that's the case. Yeah. But yeah, I would say you, as you said, you're 7 years older than your brother, which means you're probably a similar margin older than his friends or the other guys that would
sure.
theoretically be
sure.
in the bachelor party. I could be wrong, and look, people become self-starters at different ages and stuff. I just know I was the best man for my friend Clay's wedding
yeah.
when I was 25 or 26, and I needed help planning it. Well, like, there was some stuff that I could handle. I could figure out certain logistics stuff, but as far as, like, booking a house for us to, like, rent in the mountains and stuff, that took help from an older brother. And so
sure.
I think that's where you, because you're organized, you know how to handle money. I think, yeah, you're going to be...
Can I plan and then not go?
Oh, that actually might be the wedding gift, honestly. Right? But
they probably don't want me there because it's like...
Nah, your brother wants you there.
Maybe, but like they're like, yeah, I can... But what I'm saying for me, like, I kind of... I get nervous on, like, these occasions. Like,
yeah.
we had a guy call in a few weeks ago. He was actually a former baseball player at UNC, called in. He was listening to the mm-hmm. show. He was on his way to his bachelor party, and me and Permar were talking about... Do you get nervous about going on weekends where certain things are expected of you, maybe from a consumption level
yeah,
or
yeah.
staying up, not even whatever, yeah. but like staying up past your bedtime and stuff like that? Like
everything you're going to do.
I get nervous like that.
Well, because you're like, yeah, what I'm going to eat and drink is not
right.
going to be good for me.
And it's not going to be what I normally do.
Sleep is going to be reduced.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's, yes, it's like taking years off of your life, essentially.
Yeah. So I need to wait it out and see, but what you're saying is, I probably need to act upon. I need to be take the lead on certain planning activities.
I think well, like obviously, if you're the best man, definitely.
Okay.
But I do think if it's like even if you're not, it's not like that you have to take the lead, but you could certainly offer if there is some sort of consensus that other people are already planning it. Then I feel like you can at least offer your services.
Sure.
But I do think in these things too that at least my like first reaction is to want to do something collaborative and be like, hey, let's all like come together, all six of us, and we'll agree on what to do. I think it actually works best if one person is just like, here's what we're doing, here's where we're going, everyone owes me this much money, you know? So maybe I do think it at least helps to start from a group perspective.
Yeah.
But ultimately, these things work the best when one person says, look, I know what the groom wants to do, or
yeah.
the bride wants to do. And here's what we're going to do because of that. Everyone.
We got
Venmo
a caller.
And everyone Venmo me X number of
right.
dollars.
We got a caller. Ethan from Cary. He says he has some advice for me. Ethan, help me out. I'm on an island over here.
Yeah, so I got married at 24.
Okay.
I'm the baby brother. I've got a brother who's 9 years older and
okay.
11 years older. Whoa. So they were both invited to the bachelor party. They were both groomsmen, but because they were... you know, further along in life, had other responsibilities. They were unable to make it. Let me tell you, you will be the MVP of the bachelor party, bachelor weekend, because at 24, my friends, we went down a pretty bad rabbit hole. We got locked out of the car with all of our money at the beach. And it resulted because we had no backup plan.
Yeah.
My friend had just bought a new car, but it had no, like, he had no extra key. We were at the beach and could not get into the vehicle. So we ended up having to have somebody drive 4 hours to bring us his spare key, and they couldn't do it at the time. It was a disaster. We ended up sleeping on the beach, got woke up by the cops. It was a whole thing. So whatever you do, be involved. That's all I'm going to say.
Be involved. And what you're saying is me being there probably will help just like make sure things
yeah
you animals like you don't do crazy stuff.
It's
right?
a calming exactly. presence you provide. I remember when
I could see that. I am organized. I don't know all of my brother's friends, but if they're like him, they're just starting out in their careers, like they probably have the money to go, but mm-hmm. like someone having maybe a bit of disposable income, like has had 7 years of a job,
you fill in some gaps.
I can yeah. help, like if it's like, you know, the one guy who's like, yo, like I can go to the dude. Don't order water.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yes.
You're good.
I think that's good. I remember when.
Thanks, Ethan. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Ethan. When the Golden State Warriors were like at the height of their powers a couple of years ago, everyone knows those teams for Steph Curry,
yeah,
Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Durant for a period of time. One of the most important players of that run, and he's still a pretty good veteran player in the NBA now, was Andre Iguodala.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Kerr used to refer to, and Iguodala was the sixth man. came in the game, gave him a little bit of everything. And Curry used to refer to him as he's the adult in the room. And that's what you have the possibility to play that role and star in your role.
Okay.
Which I feel like is another sports cliche that we can tie into this as well here.
All right.
You've been listening to the best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast. Don't forget there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also drops every weekday at noon. Thanks again for listening to the best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast.